sometimes that allows us to have a lot of noise, and sometimes it's quieter than others. I think today it's a little bit noisy, but that's all right.
We chose, like, if there is such a thing as rush hour on our little street here, it's now.
I was up all night last night, so today for some reason feels like Sunday to me. Yeah. I keep thinking that it's Sunday.
Yeah, it's not.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But we do have lots to talk about today. I think we just wanted to start off with inspiration.
Yes.
Or intention. Or yes. Just, are they different? Are they the same? Everything falls in together eventually when we start talking.
It's true.
But so, you were kind of going off about inspiration a little bit, but like, in the form of social media. Mm-hmm. So what you choose, mm-hmm. what you choose to inspire you, mm-hmm. how does that look, Jenny? How does that look?
Well, I just think that we have to be really careful with what we're filling our thoughts with. And because we're so driven to, and I don't care who you are, you're scrolling. You can tell people you're not scrolling. But if you have 5 minutes, you're waiting in line at Starbucks, you scrolling. That's what you're doing.
You're a scroller?
Yeah. So I think
I'm not so much the scroller. I scroll. There's times to scroll, but that's not my first thing to do. I usually check messages.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But I'm just saying that whether we, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of time that we're spending on social media.
I think I don't scroll because of what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yes.
I know scrolling usually puts me in
a bad mood.
Gives me some negative.
Yes.
Because somebody's always talking about politics.
Yeah.
And somebody else is always trying to correct that person.
Or some catastrophe somewhere in the world.
Yeah. Or there's something that I cannot do anything about. I have no control over. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. It is hard to hear and it's sad to hear when certain people pass away or anything like that. Definitely give my condolences when that happens. But it does seem like there's a lot more sad negative than there is positive.
Right. And then even in, you could spend as little as like 2.5 minutes scrolling through something on social media or some social media outlet, and within 2.5 minutes your whole mood can shift. Not you, I mean any of us.
Yeah.
Our whole moods can completely shift, and suddenly we're on this frequency of negativity, and I feel like it's so easily prevented. Like, it really is so easily prevented.
Well, and why? What's the importance of it being prevented?
Well, I think that it's, I mean, if you look at, of course, right now, there's a motorcycle.
It seems every time we record, the motorbikes like
true.
To come out.
What was I saying there?
Why is it important to, you know, avoid the negativity?
Frequency. Well, because I think that, you know, we've mentioned it several times before, the whole law of attraction in the universe, and that like attracts like, and if you're going to be sort of in that frequency of negativity, then guess what? The universe just seems to deliver more negativity. And it's a thing. It happens. You hear it with everybody. You know, we all have that circle of friends or that one friend or acquaintance that you think, like, if they didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. There's a reason why that expression was developed at some time or another. Because that's the person that stays on the frequency of negativity, and it just seems like all bad things come their way. I just think that it's really important. You know, we talk about intention, and a lot of people are talking about intention and what we do with intention. And I think, and now there's a shop back running next door. I think it's up to us to decide. Like, you can decide in the first, you know, 15 seconds that you open your eyes in the morning, you can decide right then and there with intention what you're going to allow into your mindset for the next 5 minutes, for the next 10 minutes, for the rest of the day. You can decide that. And if the first thing you're going to do when you open your eyes in the morning is gravitate towards like the news or social media where there's potential for just, again, that sort of negative influence and all that sort of whatever's happening in the world that's going to negatively impact your thoughts, then you can't really expect your day or the next few moments as you enter your day, you can't really expect those to be overly positive. But I think we have a choice. And I mean, I get it. I know, you know too, in the early days of recovery, that sometimes it doesn't feel that we have a choice. Our thoughts are very powerful. It's very easy to sort of get caught up in that feeling that goes along with, you know, a mental health injury or any sort of recovery process. It's a learning thing, though, I think. Like, I didn't know right away the impact that social media and current events was having on my mindset. I had no idea. So, you know, I thought, here I was over my morning coffee just mundanely scrolling Facebook and wondering why I felt so shitty afterwards. And then once I sort of realized that, it was like, well, there's an easy solution to that. No more Facebook in the morning. So I'm not starting my day with Facebook in the morning. So it became this learned process. Like, what do I need in the morning? How can I set my intentions for the day and start my day on a positive frequency? And when I started shifting little things, and we're not talking about like making enormous changes in our day, because that's pretty overwhelming. That was definitely super overwhelming for me. I think just making those small changes, just deciding I'm not going to go to social media right now. Instead, I'm going to go to what I'm grateful for, because when I have that attitude of gratitude, that sets a tone for however long I want it to set. If I stay in the attitude of gratitude, I could be in a great mood all damn day. Like, it's that simple. I just think that it's up to us. We can choose this. We can, with intention, with that thought in mind that, no, I'm gonna create this positive frequency for myself. So I think, like, you know, the ways that we've chosen to do that in our, I mean, obviously we always talk about our routines and the importance of routine, and that has become really valuable for both of us to sort of stay on that frequency of positivity. But I think when we feel ourselves drifting away from that routine, it's just like anything else. Like, we're such creatures of habit. We can say to ourselves, oh, like, I don't need that routine that much. But like 2 or 3 days of us not on our routine, we feel it. We feel it in the way we begin our day. We feel it in the way our day unfolds and the way that things progress. I know you're not interrupting me. If you have anything to say, please. I could just go on by myself.
Yeah, I know, I don't want to interrupt you, but there's so, why though? Why is it so important to keep the positive, these positive things that you talk about, you know, having the intention and having your mindset? It's important for those in order to create goals and achieve those goals and keep that going. So I didn't want to interrupt you. I wanted to interject that just because, you know, we're both reading that Think and Grow Rich, and I think most of the world is. Mm-hmm. I think, but so there is a chapter in there where there's 7 positive emotions that you should really intentionally try to force into your mind,
right?
Like what you were talking about, you were saying a bunch of great stuff. That's why I didn't want to interrupt. I did just want to kind of go over that list of 7 things, and then there's 7 in negative, which I think it's important because it does absolutely. I mean, this book was written in the 1930s,
yeah,
and it still holds so true to today, where he didn't know what social media was or anything like
that.
That's right. But that's what it is. It's right away, if you're waking up and you're going on Facebook and you're listening to, because unfortunately the reality is a lot of people just like to stay in the problem and they feel comfortable being the victims for whatever psychological reason that is. It does make life a little bit easier because you don't, you know, it's kind of your excuse for not trying to dominate the day. It's a lot easier to stay in bed sometimes than to get up and do things that you have to do in order to achieve this goal that you want. But when you have a positive mindset, you know, when you have a positive mindset, then you're starting to achieve your goals. And you will achieve your goals. And that's what's going down. So the list is of negative emotions that you should, without a doubt, because negative emotions do just naturally attach themselves quite easily to our subconscious. And, you know, therefore, then we are going to start living our life and attracting things into our life based on those negative subconscious emotions. So, without further ado, the emotion of fear, which does cover a lot of things, the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of hatred, the emotion of revenge, the emotion of greed, the emotion of superstition, and the emotion of anger. And then the positive, which, you know, in order to do this, you need to repetitively, you know, get this into your subconscious. So with intention, like what you're talking about, the emotion of desire, the emotion of faith, the emotion of love, the emotion of sex, the emotion of enthusiasm, the emotion of romance, and the emotion of hope. And so, you know, right when I read that, those lists, a big thing that I struggle with is fear. Not so much jealousy, but I do compare myself a lot to people. And then superstition. I do think, you know, when if I'm going to do this, well, then this is going to happen. And it's funny, we were watching tennis, and number one, like the best guy to ever play the game of tennis, Rafael Nadal, who does dominate, but that guy is very, you can see he's very superstitious. He does all these little rituals and everything like that. And the reason with the negative emotions is, so a good example of that is when you pray, and that's what they bring up in the book too, is most people pray after, you know, the shit the has hit the happened. Hit the fence, and now it's based on like a need and desperation, whereas you know, we should try to be, you said, the attitude of gratitude. Be grateful, wake up, pray, and be thankful. Pray out of positive emotions. Pray out of positive vibrations, and sending all that out into the universe, and see what happens. See how your life changes just by changing, just by intentionally trying to infuse your brain
with positive
vibrations.
Yeah, I think that can also sort of go along with who is your tribe, right? Like, and who you choose to spend your time with. Like, again, we all have those like family members or those acquaintances that you find yourself in those visits that you have with that person. You come out of that visit, maybe it was only half an hour long, but you just literally feel like the soul has been sucked out of you in that time. So that's another example of just that, how powerful that energy is on another person. And I know you and I have talked about it before. I do believe in the whole concept I don't even know if you call it a concept, but being an empath. You and I both, we'll just wait until they leave. That is a really loud motorcycle. Anyway, but you and I have both done a little bit of reading on empaths and what being an empath looks like, feels like. And I definitely think that there's a certain degree to our personality that definitely falls in line with the personality traits of an empath. And I think you're somewhat of a sponge to other people's energy, whether it's positive or negative. So I think just as you have to be careful with what you're influencing your mind with when it comes to social media, current events, I think the same kind of holds true with who you choose to spend your time with. because those people are influencing you too. And you can start your day with intention, in the attitude of gratitude, and in your house, before you've even left your house, man, there is no one that's going to, like, dull your shine. And then you meet with someone, and, like, half an hour later, you're like, oh, God, what happened?
Yeah, and that's the thing. In order to do all of this, and for any of it to make sense, you really do need to always have goals. And they always need to be written down. And you need to know why you're doing what you're doing. So, and the reason I bring that up is because the whole time you're talking, I'm just thinking, you know, how do you know who you're supposed to surround yourself with? The answer to that is to define your goals and know what your goals are. So, with that, we are going to talk about how to create your goals coming up after this.
It's all me, girl.
All right. Hi, guys. So, as promised, we are going to talk about setting goals. I mean, we do talk about this quite a bit, and it's a little bit all over the place. We do have a group where we go into this extensively. So I absolutely encourage you to reach out, and if this is something that's interesting to you, reach out and we can set you up in that group, and we will we just guide everybody through actually setting some goals and then actually the process of achieving them. So as far as setting goals, basically, you know, there's lots of many different things that you can do, and we usually try to work with somebody depending on, you know, do you need to be alone to figure out, you know, what it is that you might want to do? Do you just wake up every day knowing exactly what it is that you want to do, but you just don't know how to get there? There's some people that really think that everything's fine with them, and they keep banging their head against the wall, and they don't really notice that they're banging their head against the wall. And really, what it is that their goal is wrong, or they don't even, they think they have a goal, but they just don't even have one. So it's super important. I don't care who you are, is to get that damn pen to that paper and have your goal written down with, you know, just have it written down and know what you want. And that's definitely good enough. Even there, you're just going to start, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, and you're probably going to start, that's going to be a good compass as to where you go. But then it is also a good idea, depending on what your goal is to, you know, start setting out some little plans. Because that old saying, if you don't make a plan, then you're planning to fail. Something like that.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that one? Yeah. Did I say it right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
We're just going on a whim here sometimes, and we screw those things up. But it's something like that. So what do you do in general to make a plan? Like, if I ask you, what's your goal right now, right? Like, generally, you and I, anybody can come up to us and say, hey, what's your goal? What are you working on? And the both of us always have something that we're working toward. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the important part right there. That's the win right there. If you're working toward it, maybe you're not getting it. Maybe you failed. You know, all these things, I did the night shift last night, and my coworkers who I was working with, we talked about everything under the sun, and it was some really good conversation. A big thing that came up, though, time and time again, is that the fail is part of the journey. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you have to plan for those failures. You're not just... Things do look like overnight success, but there's not. There's mm-hmm. you work on your skills for years. You work on these relationships that you build to get you to a place for years. Mm-hmm. The example I used was Nirvana. A lot of people thought, oh, Nirvana, right overnight, it smells like Teen Spirit, and they're, you know, national success and worldwide success. And, you know, Nirvana had 5 drummers before Dave Grohl. They were around, they were doing that their whole life. There's no overnight success. They worked towards they had dreams, mm-hmm. and they worked towards them and eventually achieved them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You could either be going for rock stardom, or you could be going to lose 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. Both are goals. You know, some are going to take a while, and some are going to take a couple weeks or a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes it is hard for people to narrow in on their goals. I think there's probably lots of people that walk around and think, like, I don't need goals. Like, I'm good. My life is good. And, you know, like, I go to a job every day that I sort of like, and I have a good family. And I don't know what inspires people to all of a sudden create goals, whether it's just strictly the driving force becomes, like, I need to change X in my life. Therefore, I better develop a plan. So if I'm going to put a plan into a place, I better set some goals in order to achieve that plan. So I think, I don't know that everybody walks around with goals. I don't think, like, quite honestly, until you and I got together and I started on this sort of recovery path, I don't think I set goals. Like, I really don't.
No, you had a lot of, see, that's the thing. I think it Maybe comes down to what people believe.
Yeah.
It's what you, everybody has beliefs about themselves. And yeah. I think that's yeah. where your goal is set. So if you have a belief, and again, we go back to, you know, think and grow rich. These are all, these could be subconscious beliefs.
Yeah.
And you don't even know you have these beliefs about yourself or whatever, you know. But your results are basically kind of time-tested of what you believe about yourself.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely.
And what you believe that you deserve, what you believe your life looks
like.
Who you believe you deserve to hang around with. Mm-hmm. Again, the conversation that I had, we need to get him on the show. I won't mention his name or anything like that because I haven't even talked to him about it yet, but mm-hmm. I think he'd probably be open to it. He's a pretty interesting guy. But he's an artist, and he was just telling me he through Instagram, like, he didn't realize he's been doing this since he was 11. And then, you know, he always wanted to have his own business and stuff. Artists, like, almost like an urban artist mm-hmm. kind of does. He also does, like, vintage toys and stuff. Definitely want to get him on the show because he was really interesting to talk to.
Uh-huh.
But what he was telling me is, like, so he saw a guy on Instagram who he admired, and he always said, one of these days I want to be like that guy. Like, that guy has it all together. He lives in LA and he has all this stuff. Well, fast forward, and he put himself into the position where, like, now he's putting on, and he did, he stepped outside his fear, and now he's putting on big, huge urban art festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in control of, like, you know, he'd better tell you what he's in control of, but it's like putting it all together and, like, starting people's careers right. and bringing people in. Well, lo and behold, next thing you know, he's actually, like, contacting this guy.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is like, I absolutely will come there and speak. So now that guy's going out of his way, flying in from LA to come and hang out at this guy's house and speak with him. I don't know where the hell I got onto that. It's about, like, where you deserve your beliefs and stuff yeah. like that. Who you, now he is, by doing that and getting that result, now he believes that he's there as yeah. an artist.
Right.
But he already was there. He mm-hmm. was already doing that. And, mm-hmm. But just his beliefs were making it so that he compared himself to that guy. All these little things.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's, it's like, you know, you believe that you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
You're the last person that realizes it, though.
Right.
When, right. you know, you do it to me all the time. You're always like, look where you've come in a year.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. Because I always get those days where I feel stuck. And it's just like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. And then you're good for saying, let's go back a year. Where were you a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
And what have we done this year?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like,
yeah,
domination.
I was just going to say, yeah. Like, I think retrospective is really important when you're sort of taking stock of your accomplishments in your life and of the goals that you've already accomplished. Like, you know, you talk about that sort of belief system in yourself. If you continually tell yourself that you aren't a goal achiever, or you're not a follow-through-er, whatever you want to call yourself, then...
Or the goals you do achieve, because I see this a lot, and I did this a lot, where it's like you actually do something good, but then you downplay it. It's
right.
Like, you know, you say you go to work out,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, wow, that was a horrible effort.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah,
you could have been sitting on the couch,
yeah.
but you just worked out when you really didn't want to.
Right,
that's huge.
Yeah,
that's bigger than the day that you wanted to work out.
And that's, I think, what I learned most about goal setting when you and I started really just focusing on our goals and focusing on the direction that we wanted our life to take. And I think that point that you made about failure is tremendously important. Like, I've always looked at failure as setback. I've never looked at it as like something that is probably the most valuable of experiences. Like, failure is the, like, most valuable that's experience.
That's the best. That's the best part of, if you can change your perspective, that's the best part of life.
Yeah, totally.
It's the part that you remember. It's the part that you look back and laugh at.
Yeah.
When you've, because you've, it, you've, it's a, the thing that allowed you to grow and to get to the amazing point that you're at.
Right.
The problem is you're stuck in the failure.
Right.
And that's where we go back to the last segment of getting your damn head into the positive mindset. Uh-huh. All this stuff comes together.
Yeah.
It all needs to work together.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at people who have made some pretty catastrophic failures in their life.
Yeah.
That are now, like, you talk about world domination. That's where these people are at now. And they'll even say, you know, I've read articles and biographies on people where they say the same thing. Like, without that failure, I wouldn't be here right now. If I hadn't failed 100 times, if I hadn't fallen down 1,000 times.
Not even, like, some people are like career-ending failures where, like, a lesser person would be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you hear of the person that can't even afford a slice of pizza and now they're billionaires. Because they took that little chance. Yeah. They're just the type of person that would, you know, give their last $5 to somebody else.
Who needs it.
Yeah.
Who they think needs it more
and
than
they're just in the ground. But, you know, there's surround yourself with positivity. Mm-hmm. Keep positivity in your head. Know your goals. Write them down. And keep moving forward.
Absolutely.
Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about how to maintain motivation.
Uh-huh.
Is that something you want to talk about in the next segment?
Sure.
Do you want to play a song? Do you want to play a song?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
I thought you stopped.
Nobody can see you when you're nodding, Ben. No, all right, so we're going to go play a song. We'll come back and talk about motivation.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, we are back, and we are going to talk about motivation now. Do you want to do a quick station identification like you always do so well?
You're listening to 102.7 Radio FM out of Kitchener CKMS, or Sound FM online if you don't have a radio.
And what's the name of the show?
Acoustic Lifestyle.
I'm just keeping you on your toes. Jenny and I have both had very long nights. We literally were working around the clock last night, so you may have to forgive us for a little bit of brain fartage today. Hey? But you wanted to talk about motivation. There's 100 different ways to stay motivated, but you want to talk about...
Well, we've been talking about intention and goal setting, and I guess that further to that is once you've sort of set your intention and you've written down your goals, all that's great, but now how do you stay on course? And that's the part where And that's where I think a lot of people really struggle, you know, like I think we see that with a lot of the people that we've talked to, certainly when it comes to what we do and helping coach people and helping people just to feel better about themselves. And you can go out on a Monday guns a-blazing, like everything is changing. How many times have we said that ourselves, even with our own goals? Like, you're on holidays for a couple of days, your routine gets a little, you know, sidetracked or derailed a little bit. And then you say, okay, like Monday, we're back on. Monday, yeah. We are back in.
It's always
speed
Monday.
Ahead. Yeah, it's always Monday. It's never Thursday. It's always Monday. So, okay, that's great. Monday, you're like guns a-blazing. Tuesday, you wake up and you're like, no, I'm good. And you're, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a conversation, a little self-talk that happens where... You know, that little devil on your shoulder might be like, so are we thinking maybe we should try this today? Which is totally against what you said you were going to do for yourself.
Yeah.
And then maybe by Wednesday or even by Thursday, suddenly like you're white knuckling through some of your goals. So, or towards on that path towards your goals. So, and I mean, not always, it's not always that quick, but there is often a sort of timeline where you start to drift away from that path towards your goal. So I'm always curious to hear how people... I think if you identify what derails you, it's that much easier to put in place all the things that prevents you from being derailed. So I often ask that of the women that we have in our group. You know, when something hasn't worked for you before, what was it? When did it stop working? And what was your mindset like at that time? And, you know, how can we set ourselves up differently this time so that that doesn't happen? And I think, you know, what we've talked about in previous segments about your mindset and what you believe of yourself and what you believe you're capable of, those are really, that subconscious part of your brain is super powerful. And I think 90% of the time, it's that becomes the driving force. That's what inspires that total derailment away from what we know we want out of our lives.
Well, and the total derailment is what always surprises me. It's like if somebody doesn't do something perfect, then they're done. And again, we talk about failure. There's little failures, and there is going to be failures. And I even hate to use the word failure because, like we identified, that's the best part. If you can change your perspective, that's the best part of life. Mm-hmm. So, I would just strongly suggest start getting used to getting a hold of the failure and just hugging that son of a bitch and hugging failure and just being used to it and comfortable in failure or the setbacks. If we don't want to use the word failure, but it's setbacks. It's just choices. It's decisions all day long that you have to make. And if you think you're going to make the wise decision every single time, and if you don't, then what's the point? I can no longer try to achieve this goal. I'll just go back to the way I was. that's a lot of pressure. So I you know, when you go into creating the goals and everything like that, also create the expectations as to, you know, like you and I always kind of have rules so that we don't have to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. It's just a rule. It's like, you know, if we're talking about nutrition, we'll just have rules of like, there's no sugar. So I'm hungry and I'm walking into a supermarket. Uh-oh, I want to eat some crap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but rule number one is no mm-hmm. sugar. So get over yourself. Mm-hmm. Suck it up. Mm-hmm. The decision is already made. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not eating it. Because mm-hmm. then that way you don't have to think about the big goal. You're just thinking about, like, what rules do I have for myself? I mean, this doesn't work for everybody. And that's why everybody's individual. Like, that might be, oh, screw the rule. I'm still going to eat chocolate bars anyways or whatever. Well, then there's your accountability. They always have, like, what's these things in place to, you know, curb that. So, okay, screw the rules. Well, then you have an accountability partner, or you have a class that you go to, you know, a workout class or something like that. So, you know, tomorrow at CrossFit, I have to run a 5K, and if I'm eating this, that's going to really suck. And you know what? Like you said, Monday's down, Tuesday's down, Wednesday I'm actually feeling pretty good about myself. Why do I want to... Is it worth it?
Right.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
I always ask that question. That was huge for us. Is it worth it? You know, if you're going to eat... If you're going to fall off the... You know, fall off the rails for that day, it better be worth it. Mm-hmm. So, and if you can't find something that's worth it, then you're not allowed, like, you're not doing it.
And falling off the rails, like, let's look at that for what it is.
Yeah, yeah, because that's a wide thing.
Like, to me, whether you go out with a bunch of friends for dinner and you all share a dessert, that's not going off the rails.
Yeah.
You know, if you... You all,
but like, some people treat it like that. They're like, well, forget it then.
I already screwed up, or I already went off a plan, so that means I'm, you know, screw it. Yeah, I'm just going to drink my face off and eat a whole pizza or whatever. But yeah, but I think that's your own belief system, because that's what you've taught yourself, that, you know, being off the rails, you've told yourself that's what it looks like. Whereas I think if you set yourself up at the beginning, when you're setting those goals, you already know, because let's face it, we've all been there. This isn't the first time that we've tried or set a goal for ourselves for better health. This isn't the first time that any of us has set a goal to exercise more. It's not the first time that we've set a goal for ourselves to, like, just improve our lives as a whole by way of just better health, better relationships, better communication, better coping strategies, developing a more positive routine. We've all been there. We've all been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
So we already know what those nagging little things that are going to sneak up on us and say, come this way, come to the dark side.
Yeah, and also don't have the expectation that it's going to be, because a lot of people set those sort of goals where it's just like, okay, how's the easiest way I can do this? And it's like, it's all biological. There is not an easy way, but again, get used to the journey, because there is no...
Yeah.
What's the end? That you're going to get to a certain weight?
Yeah.
No, because you still have to maintain. You still have to live that lifestyle. And I know that's cliche. It's a lifestyle. It really is a lifestyle, though.
Yeah.
That is. And I think I took you a different direction, though. Keep going.
I just think that if you can already identify these little patterns that... can sort of sidetrack your effort, write those down too. Because you know they're coming. You know, like, you know, I know PMS is coming and I'm going to want to eat a Kit Kat. I know that. So what am I going to do when that happens?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know that I'm going to go out somewhere. There's going to be a time when I won't have, like, I'm going to get stuck out and I won't have packed my whole day of lunch, of meals. So what am I going to do?
Well, that's like, all I'm thinking about is the 12 steps right now. That's basically step one in a nutshell. So it's not necessarily just about, like, nutrition or health or anything like that.
I just use that as an example.
No, but that is, because that's what a lot of our listeners are probably trying to do. But, you know, you and I always talk about everything in life. So, like, yeah, when you're even trying to quit drinking, which is, like, you know, life or death for some people, it was for me, is you need to identify those situations. What situation is going to make me go back out again?
Right.
What situation is going to make me pick up a beer?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the same thing. What you're telling me, what situation is going to make me pick up a Kit Kat or cookies
or miss a workout or
what situation is going to blah blah blah. And that is a really great point, because if you don't know that's coming, again, that's part of the planning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that relapse, their number one answer is, I don't know, it just came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. Mm-hmm. You're walking into the fire. You see that fire and you're walking into it.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize it, because it's, again, I go back to the conversation we were having yesterday with my coworkers. She kept bringing up the, and we've heard this before, and how does it go? Like, if you put a frog in water, boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you put it in water and then slowly heat it up, it's just going to stay in there and get boiled.
Yeah.
And die.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing. It's like, if you see, a lot of us don't see that coming.
Right.
But you can, if you set up these situations and you plan, you can tell, oh, wait a second, this water is starting to get hot.
Yeah.
I better go the other way. It's a compass.
Absolutely.
It is.
I know, I like that you use that word to describe it, because it literally works exactly on that, just on, like, how a compass works. I just love the way that you use that as an example, because that's exactly how I picture things, you know, that just that arrow pointing this away, that's the way I'm going. And I just think that
But to go along with that, again, we always say things work together, and that's why it's huge to me. That's what my supports are for me too. So we write down situations that might make us go back out, that might make us eat something, that might make us hang out with negative influences, whatever it may be. Situations that might, A, B, or C. But then also, the support system is also a good mirror for myself. So right. You may look at me, you've done it to me many times. Babe, that's why I love you. Well, I love you for many reasons, but you definitely, I know you have my back, and there are times where you'd be like, you know, I don't know what it would be, but there are times where you're like, you know what, I'm just concerned. I don't think you mm-hmm. should be doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how you word it, right? That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, generally, your supports are in your life is because they have your back. So mm-hmm. it's a good idea to just try to keep that open mind. And if somebody that you know has your back, and somebody that you love and that you care about has something to say about maybe what you're about to do, keep an open mind, because again, that's another version of a compass that's in your life that's right. going to steer you in the right direction.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just definitely think, as easy as it is to develop that list of goals and even the plan and on how you intend on achieving those goals, I think it's just as valuable, if not more valuable, to identify the patterns that you know of yourself that have sidetracked you, and get those down on paper too, so that you can see them coming. Just as you can see clearly what your goals are, see clearly the potential for where you're going to stray from that path towards your goals. Identify that. That's like super important.
Absolutely. Do you want to play another song?
Sure.
All right. So, you are listening to what, Jenny?
CKMS Radio out of Kitchener, 102.7 FM, soundfm.ca, and this is Acoustic Lifestyle. I'm Jenny Ralph.
And I'm Daryl Ralph. This is brought to you by NutriFarms, locally farmed meat, all natural, delivered right to your door, and EverWellness. If you're feeling uncomfortable or you're struggling with your life, we're the answer.